This is Capital Insider, an insider's guide to Oklahoma politics, policy, and people. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You?
Very well, thanks.
Well, you're holding up pretty well as we get later and later in the legislative session. Good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
Recently, the legislature passed a bill that would change the school A through F grading system in Oklahoma. A lot of people were glad to see that.
That's right. We've had the system for a few years now, and just like students in school, it graded schools and school districts on an A to F basis, saying that some were doing as best as could be expected and that others were failing. But it was not a well-liked system.
Well, it was very simple, on purpose, so people could understand it. But it failed to take into account a lot of factors that really were fairly meaningful. We talked to Joy Hoffmeister, the state superintendent of public instruction, recently about the changes in the school grading system.
Well, the current law that has been in place for a number of years is one that looks heavily at test scores. It has been viewed through those who have expertise in psychometrics as invalid and that it has flaws that need to be corrected.
One of the concerns we heard in the Senate was that A through F grade, that a school might get labeled in a certain way and that could even follow the student. Is that a concern out among parents and students, for that matter?
You know, I definitely think that this was a criticism, and I was one who gave that with the last system. We made a real concerted effort to not oversimplify the important work of schools.
One of the complaints we've heard from schools about the current A through F school grading system is that they feel like they are stigmatized by the grade. Will the change fix that?
I believe it will. And here's why. The last system was focused on a single grade. And actually, that oversimplifies the important work that schools do. You cannot condense that into one grade. So what we have done is look at multiple measures. I want you to think about a school report card that we're all familiar with. There are differences in the report card for different kinds of schools. Elementary looks a little different than middle school and high school. Then you have an overall grade that is like a GPA.
What will parents see that's different than the old system?
Well, what parents will have is a public-facing dashboard. So they will be able to go type in their school and pull up a whole it'll look like a school report card for their own children that has multiple measures, and it will measure things from academics to other areas that make for a great school. And then schools will also have information on how they can compare themselves to a like school and learn from one another.
And this is tied into a new accountability system.
Yes, that is exactly right. So it is a federal change after the repeal of No Child Left Behind. And the new law is called Every Student Succeeds Act, or we refer to it as ESSA. And that is something that all states are right now coming into compliance. And so this was timely because Oklahoma had brand new academic math and reading language arts standards that were passed about a year ago. And with that comes the need for new assessments to be written to measure those new standards. So we're giving those actually right now in the spring of 2017. And then new accountability would normally be up for a modification tied to those new changes. So the timing couldn't have been better.
Was this change a heavy lift in the legislature?
I think any time we have change that is going to affect all schools. We have a lot of work to do to make sure that questions are answered. It's extremely complex. What I saw at the legislature was a lot of people asking really deep questions, wanting to ensure that we weren't making some of the mistakes that had been made in the past and that they had been hearing from with their constituents.
There are different ways of measuring it. Where do you rank Oklahoma in terms of teacher pay?
Oh, well, we are at, I mean, there's like one state below us. And there's just no denying that. When you add in to Oklahoma our teacher pay raise our teacher compensation, which includes benefits, it includes the state contribution for retirement. With that, we are still at the bottom. Mississippi is below us. It used to be South Dakota, but South Dakota last year, starting June 1, gave an $8,500 pay raise. So they've passed us. We are not going to be able to keep people or attract them, and it's a travesty. There is no way around it. We've got to do both. We've got to address competitive pay for teachers, and we must also have as close to flat funding as possible, or we are going to see our state just lose ground exponentially.
97 districts have adopted a 4-day school week. You've called that a contagion.
That's right. Here's why I say that. What we see is that this is something that starts in one place, and then the districts surrounding it elect to have a 4-day school week. And when we talk to school districts, they tell us that they are very fearful that they will lose teachers out of their district to a neighboring district that has already moved to a 4-day school week. And then you have to ask the question why. And the reason why goes back to compensation. Our teachers are needing to work a second job in order to stay in Oklahoma. And that is very attractive with a 4-day school week when you are able to work a 3-day weekend.
So the state is in a situation, at least some school districts, where the best that it can do is to give teachers a 4-day week so they can work a second job to survive.
It's very sad, but I believe that. That is what we are hearing. That is what we are very aware of, and that is not good enough.
And didn't your department recently produce a report that shows that the 4-day school week really doesn't save that much money?
It's inconclusive, and yes, we did not see any kind of real savings. Now, it is not to say that there are school districts that can find money. This is something that we were asked to look at. So we looked at school districts, 16 of them, that had been doing a 4-day school week since 2012, and were able to look at their years prior to that change and then their expenditures after, and were able to see that some saved, some remained the same, and a number of them actually had greater expenditures. So it wasn't expected to see that. However, it is something that we saw very similar results to the Brookings Institute that shows in their national study that the cost savings is about 0.5% to 2% savings. And there are school districts that say, hey, I'll take a 2% savings. That saved a teacher. So right now, we cannot be critical of them for trying to find a way to stay afloat. I mean, we are on life support, and so we certainly are not critical of that. What we are very, concerned about is the plan. Is there a plan? When we see districts making a decision based out of the fear of losing teachers, have they had enough time to think through all of the ramifications and take proper steps to get ready?
State Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister, thank you for the visit.
Oh, thank you.
So that's it. Thanks for listening to the Capital Insider podcast on KGOU. More to come, Sean.
That's right. We'll be talking to more state leaders in the weeks to come.
All right. And we want to let you know that the theme music for the podcast is by Astral Planes. We hope you like it. Keep listening to the Capital Insider podcast.